online at jetspizza.com. And Eric Schatz, not able to be in studio tonight, but he did pre-record a Thanksgiving show. So we're going to get that started right now. So here is this week's Thanksgiving edition of See You at the Show. Thanks again for listening to WEFT Champaign.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to a very special edition of See You at the Show, a holiday edition where we are going to be talking about theater past, theater present, and theater future. I am at a dinner table, gathered around. It's kind of a family edition because we have three of the Evans family members here. I'd say the top three theater families in town. We'll have to have a competition someday.
Wow. We're in the top
I was going to talk about
competition today. So that's
okay. Well, we got the.
This is Linda.
This is Linda Evans. We have Josie Evans,
hi.
Dima,
hello,
and Katie Procyss.
We are the top 10.
Right, you're definitely up there too.
But talk about theater power couple.
Right, you're a power couple.
You know, with Malia and Warren gone.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. So now you're up there on the
couple. Yeah, we really need to have.
In, I guess.
You know, I haven't talked much about this yet, but there is going to be a See You at the Show end of the year awards. Ooh. And so now I've got ideas for new categories.
Nice.
But you guys would be up against the Curtis family, they've all four been in shows, and you haven't been in a show, Linda.
I haven't.
When was the last time you were in a show?
I like producing.
Produce and stage manage.
Everything.
Yeah.
I'm trying to convince her to get into something.
We'll see. But you will never see my husband on stage, but he's in the audience all the time. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about why your family is such a big theater family. You have three kids. Parker is not with us because he's
at the
doing
theater,
strike.
And they're striking right now, and they're going straight into Christmas Carol. Who's that? I'm sorry. Parkland.
Oh, Parkland.
Yeah. You made it sound like that whole cast is going to turn around, take off their pirate outfits.
Right. Well, Parker is. Like, he's already cast in A Christmas Carol, and they've already started rehearsals and things like that. And that is going to be showing, A Christmas Carol is directed by Michael O'Brien, and it's showing December 13th, 14th, and 15th. So it's a shorter run, and it's a radio-style A Christmas Carol, which we have two other radio-style shows going on in town, too. One being one that all three of my kids are in, and that I'm producing, The Goblins and the Gravedigger, which has four shows, November 30th at 7, so we're the first one before everybody else gets started.
Right.
It's a competition.
So there are two shows in Champaign and two shows in Rantoul, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, because Kenny Chumbly, who is the author, he basically went to an old Dickens, he's kind of a Dickens kind of guy, and he went to an old Dickens story called The Goblins and the Gravedigger, and he kind of rewrote it and played around with it, and we did a radio show for it, and we were talking about how we kind of didn't want this to end. It was kind of like a magical show, and then I found out at one of the parties for the station theater that Ed Pierce was going to do a live radio show at the station. I was like, oh no, there's gonna be, and then I found out Parkland was doing one too. And it's not bad, I just thought, oh, this is gonna be a fresh thing that we're gonna have, and now we have three, which is not a problem. It's kind of fun that now, you know, people have three different options. And I tried to get all three directors together to maybe, because we're all gonna have Foley tables, which are the tables that have the special effects and things like that. And I thought maybe we could all get together and maybe share some of that experience, because it's kind of a new thing for most of us.
Yeah.
John Tilford's doing
John Tilford's running our Foley table.
Right.
And playing a couple, you know, short character little parts.
Right. So we got together, and I got together with Ed and John and several other people in your cast or in your production team. And we had already done a lot of brainstorming, so we kind of helped them with some of their ideas on sound effects, but there's really not a whole lot, since we overlap a little bit, there wasn't a whole lot we could actually physically share. But it was fun to talk to other groups that were doing it, because it's kind of a neat way to do a show.
Well, even though we have a super savvy listener base about theater stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
Our host is not super theater savvy. So what is a Foley table? Take it, Katie.
Well, a Foley artist is someone who creates the sound effects for a movie or, you know, radio, anything like that. So when you have, for instance, someone walking in high heels in a movie, there's a Foley artist after, you know, everything is filmed, and they sync up the sounds of footsteps. Right. They actually hold high heels and clip-clop them mm-hmm. on a board, and it just makes everything sound more real, ironically enough.
Right, like glass.
So yeah, for a radio show, it's, right. We don't actually have a set with doors and things, so we might have a small piece of wood on a hinge that squeaks, so you can hear an opening and a closing. We have, since the play is It's a Wonderful Life, we have lots of heavenly sorts of tinkling right. sounds, and we have, I believe we have, yeah, a half a dozen keys on
a
fishing
that.
Line on a hanger, and he just sort of pushes the hanger, and it tingles, and I think that'll be fun for a live audience.
Are there any horses in the show?
Yes.
Did Mike come with his coconuts? Because I tell you, the first time
Aaron Clark.
Mike was so. It was
Aaron Clark.
Oh my gosh! Right, Mike was in it spam a lot, but it was Aaron Clark.
But Aaron Clark.
I hope I edit that out. I hate getting Patsy. That wrong. Sorry, Aaron.
Aaron Clark played Patsy, and he had the famous.
Oh, it was so fun.
Coconut halves banging together for the horses. It was really great. But yeah, we do. We have a couple of fake commercials in our radio show, and one of them does feature some clip clops of.
So are these radio shows kind of different in style? Because my understanding of It's a Wonderful Life was that it's kind of a play about the people who are doing the radio show more than just putting on the radio show.
Not in our production. Really? I have heard that is an adaptation that other theaters have done, where it is sort of about the actors who are doing the play and their relationships and maybe dramas that are going on. Ours is more of a book ending. We have the introduction where we thank the audience for coming to our radio show, and we'll be live on the air in, you know, 1 minute, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And then, you know, we have like introduction of people, the actors, you know, oh, you might recognize them from the production of this and that. And it's all very 40s and cheerful. And,
yeah. But is it really Katie Procise then?
I'm introduced as Katie Procise, and then I play five different characters in the play. So once the quote unquote radio show goes live, we count it down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and it's as if the audience at the station is in the recording studio with us, and we ask them to laugh and cry and sing along, and so the audience at home listening on the radio can hear it. So
are they getting lyrics to any songs on the program?
You know what, I don't know. I was just sick for a week. I didn't go to rehearsals because I couldn't speak and I didn't want to get anybody sick. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was in Baltimore for 4 days, so I missed 4 rehearsals. I mean, we could be doing a completely different play. I guess this is airing Thanksgiving, so I'll know by the time you hear this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have a little commercial, you know, I don't give that away, but we have a couple commercials, and then continuing on with act 2 of It's a Wonderful Life, and then at the end it's just thank you ladies and gentlemen for coming to our taping, or you know.
So are you spared having to memorize your lines then, because technically on the radio you wouldn't have to?
I have lines at the very beginning that are memorized because I'm supposed to be Katie Procise, you know,
right,
actress of 1946. But all of the lines of the actual play, we do have a script in front of us. I do play an instrument briefly, so I did have to memorize, I think, one line in the middle of act 1. So yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too bad. I got
But even
it.
Though you don't have to memorize it, it's you have to be super familiar with it because you don't want to paraphrase, and you really have to get every line right, more so than normal because you have it right in front of you. And and you have to wait for certain sound effects before you can say your line. So like your cues are a little bit different.
They are very different. And I also, I have notes written in my script as if I were reading music.
Right.
Emphasizing certain things because I have 5 or 6 distinct different voices, and they might have different, you know, accents or different, you know, one's kind of a more of a Midwestern sort of sound, and so I circle those A's so I can remember, like, elongate those for this character,
right,
so I don't forget. And it's just, yeah, it's sort of like reading music for me. I don't know how the other actors necessarily know things, but right, that's my method to keep myself from messing up.
It can be hard to be five different people in one show, and
I'm playing
and
three children
sound different to the audience. I mean, you have a leg audience, so they'll see you. We are also having one of our shows live broadcast on the radio.
Oh, too. Wow.
So our last show on the 8th at 3:00 in Champaign is going to be live broadcast. So we also have to make sure that our show is, that each one of the four shows is exactly like 50 minutes with everything. We're going to have the CU Dickens carolers come, and they're going to sing for a little bit before the show, and then we'll go into our show, because our show is Dickens-like. So,
mm-hmm. Are any of your kids involved in the Dickens carolers?
They're not currently, but we'll see after this.
Maybe next year.
Like, they don't have enough to do. But, so it's kind of a neat thing. I'm excited that three of us are doing the radio style show, and we're all doing 1940s kind of thing, because it's all different. I've already seen the station's set, which is different because since we're having ours in two different places, we don't really have a set.
Oh,
you know, so
yeah, it is interesting,
right? So,
and we do have, I mean, it is very different as an actor preparing for voice work, because I don't have any experience with that. I've been hired for a couple of very small voice jobs, but I mean, it's a few minutes of work.
Right.
And this is very, very different. And mm-hmm. I mean, I have my posture and things to work
right.
with, and screw my face up in different contortions.
To get the voices.
Right. But really, I find myself doing different things. Like when I call out, you know, to Daddy as Zuzu, I've noticed that I kind of get up on my tiptoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like a little, like a 4-year-old, like, Daddy, yeah.
Taking behind the scenes pictures of the Goblins and the Gravedigger, one of our rehearsals, where we dress rehearsals, I guess. And it was funny, I couldn't get any really flattering pictures of people, because they have to like screw up their faces, or because some of them, they're goblins. Josie and Dima are both goblins. And so, like, they're kind of getting these weird voices, and Parker has to kind of, he has two very distinct voices that he has to do, and so he kind of definitely looks funny when he's doing them, and so I'm like, I'm so sorry. There are, like, no flattering pictures, because when you're doing voice work, you have to do so much with your voice to get the message
across. Your tongue, your lungs, your neck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything.
Because you don't have the rest of your body to act with.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so Josie, is it different for you than when you were just doing it as a voice actor than when you're doing it the same exact lines, but now you're doing it in front of an audience?
In front of an audience, like, I start making a face because I feel like I'm acting it out if I'm on stage. And I try to stop myself because my mom's, like, taking pictures. And I'm making this, like, very ugly face. Because, like, what's happening in the play is, like, a terrible thing. So I'm making this face, and, like, I realize that I'm, like, going on my tiptoes and, like, kind of making a posture differently.
She also has to stand, because we have four mics set up, and she's short. She has to stand on a stool the whole show.
Yeah.
And so she's the only person that has to do that.
Yeah.
Because they can't just bring down a mic just for her. Mm-hmm. And we actually have way too many people on our show, because we were so excited to get people involved. And so we should, normal radio shows would have somebody doing five. But I think the most Parker was cast as three parts, but now we've kind of moved those parts around. So I think, yeah, the most anybody has is two. So
we
have
three.
You have three? Yeah, you have three.
And so you have three different distinct voices for those characters?
Because I have to do a goblin, a small goblin, and a little boy. And the little boy has to be a lot different than the other British that I used earlier for the small goblin, because the small goblin.
It's a British goblin?
Yeah.
They're all British.
Did we not mention they're British? It's Dickens. So, yeah.
Of course they're British.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's fun.
We did have a little trouble with that, because I thought, well, if I'm playing five or six different people, a part of my bag of tricks would be to do different accents or different,
right.
And we can't do that because this is Bedford Falls, in It's a Wonderful Life. Right. Everyone was born, lived, and dies there.
There's right. Not they a didn't lot have of, different accents.
There's not
right.
a lot of like, oh, this person's from Georgia, but they live in Bedford Falls. So you have to be.
That makes sense.
So yeah. It limited me. I wasn't able to pull the tricks out of my sleeve. I had to actually, you know, do my job. And be two different women
right.
from the same town.
And different ages, maybe.
Two of them are about the same age, so right. that was hard for me. I was wow. like, wow, I really rely on...
Right.
Well, that's a lot of nuance.
You know, it really is, and I am playing three different children, and they're all Baileys.
Oh, wow.
So I tried to kind of connect them so they have a sort of way of speaking because they're a family, but... It's very difficult because I don't want them all to sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm playing young George, who's about 12, maybe 13, and then Janie Bailey. There will be an awful surprise for audience members. I'm playing the viola as this little girl, about 10, I think. And then Zuzu, who's, I imagine, 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm trying to connect them to the grown-up George.
Right.
Because they're a family, but also, yeah, my tricks are limited when I can't. There's no costume, I can't. You know,
right.
I have to just right. only do it all through voice, so it is hard. But yeah, is. You're right. In front of, Josie's right, when you're in front of live people, you just naturally, your face and your body get into it. And it does help you with the emotions yeah. and the sounds that you make. So, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen some of the videos of animated movies and the voice work that is done, and I am absolutely they're fun to watch because the pros really do act
right.
Like the Olaf from Frozen. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Frozen Jr., by the way. It was a great run. Just wrapped at the Virginia Today, I guess was their last one, and they set all sorts of attendance records. They had a really beautiful show, so congratulations to you. But watching those guys do the voiceover was just fantastic because they acted not for the camera, but just to be that voice. Like, look at the cat imitation I just did. Yeah. Yeah. Like I was in character for that cat. Did you notice that?
Yes. You got furrier.
Yeah, I do enjoy that aspect of watching voice actors, and I've always been really fascinated by them, and I've always wanted to do voice work. Mm-hmm. I just, in this
There's
town,
not a lot of
it's not like I'm gonna be working for, you know, Fox or something and
right.
doing The Simpsons, but this is just as good, frankly. Like, this is great. Well, I still get to live here and I still get to do voice work.
I hope
work.
That we actually do more voice work.
Yeah.
And we'd like to do something, at least annually, do different radio shows every year as long as we can. And if this one's successful, and since we do pay people, that's, you know, it's gonna have to deal with money and stuff like that. And it costs money to sit and record it, and it took us forever to edit it, and that was very eye-opening, because I had done some stuff with the radio before, but then just the amount of time it took to take the voice actors, and they got so many different, you know, they came in for a few minutes and they're gone, but then as we're listening to it, we had to call people back in because maybe we want something a little bit different. We had to take pauses out. Everybody would come in, record separately because they all had different times and stuff like that, so they weren't always playing off of each other.
That is the part that fascinates me about
right.
what, like you were saying about, you know, watching the guy who plays Olaf doing his
right.
thing. He may not be in the same city or state as the actor he's working with.
Right.
It's fascinating
right.
to me.
And it's really interesting to work that way. It was fun to see people working that way, and it was interesting to see how you can manipulate things. And then once we put in some of the sound effects, we kind of wanted to change things a little bit. You know, it's just, there's so many options, but it's also... there's a lot more to it, and you know, and
that's
it,
why I like live.
Right, right. That is, I mean,
it's much more messy, but
right,
way
but live
more
is
simple.
Great.
Right. Well, I like doing the show live because,
right.
for instance, we're recording this right now, and I'm going to go back in and with very low level sophistication in iMovie, I'm going to take some of the pauses out and make sure that I get it to the time.
I hope
and
so.
And maybe put my little intro thing
right.
in. But it's so, I wish that I could do that kind of software where you can eliminate pauses.
Oh,
I did a radio
so
I did a radio commercial
time.
One time, and I shot it, or I did it, and I thought, ugh,
you know, I don't like how I right there and everything. Right.
You
and
can then, take the and out.
Yeah,
they just clipped it.
Yeah. And then they played it through, and I sounded so good.
Vocal airbrushing. They just Photoshop that.
Right. No filter.
Audio brush it.
It's so awesome.
Hashtag.
Right. And you can look at, I mean, it's on the screen, and it's in colors and stuff like that, and you can just clip different parts out, and it's so different from having to, like, cut the actual... You know, when they back in the old days when they record things.
Transitioning into our into our theater future. We have auditions coming up, and what are you looking forward to, or what are you planning on doing?
I want to audition for Falsettos because I've been singing along with the recording, and I have quite a close voice to it because his voice is very high in it. So
what's the name of the character? Do you know?
Jason. I could tell you just blanked.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought you meant like the voice actor.
Are you familiar with the show?
Yes, I've been studying it for a couple days now. I really like it.
Yeah. I just started listening to it a couple days ago too. Because if on our See You at the Show webpage and Facebook page, we've got a whole page dedicated to December 7th, 2019, Audition Mayhem in Champaign-Urbana, where there are five shows that you can audition for between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the station. There's I Hate Hamlet and Falsettos, which is going to be directed by Kendall Johnson, right?
Yes.
And I Hate Hamlet is going to be directed by Katie Burke?
Yeah, Katie Burke.
Great. And then Twin City Theater Company is putting on a play, Bus Stop, and they're doing their auditions at the Champaign Public Library in the afternoon. And then at Parkland, there are dual auditions going on for Chicago and Learning to Drive. So I've challenged people to call in or to contact me and let me know if they're really going to try to do all five. And since nobody has, you know what?
Are you going to do it?
Are they going to do an all five?
Awesome. Because Parker was going to do it, and then he was like, there's really...
I need a buddy.
Maybe you guys should just go around. He has to work the auditions at Parkland as well as, you know, audition.
Is he going to help with the production of either of the shows?
Yeah, both Parkland shows. He has a job at Parkland too, okay. In Scene Shop, and he's on scholarship, so he's constantly there. So he builds sets, he does everything. So
yeah.
So he has to work the auditions, and he'll be auditioning, but he's, I think, gonna make it to a couple of the other auditions too. I think he was like, I don't know if I can do Falsettos, but
So Katie, have you ever auditioned for two shows on the same day?
But it was in the same place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I auditioned for two shows a couple of times at the Station Theater.
I wonder how many people are going to be put in awkward positions of like getting offered a role and saying, yeah, I can let you know after I hear from Parkland. Is that something directors expect, do you think?
Definitely.
It has happened to me before where I already auditioned for something and then someone wanted to just cast me in something without an audition and I had to say, the other way around where it was... Mm-hmm. I was pre-cast in something and then someone wanted me to audition for something around the same time and I said, and I mean, it's a flattering problem to have, but it's not a good problem to have.
It's only happened to me
I think once, but it's very difficult, even though I know people understand.
Right.
I'm a people pleaser and I want to, well, maybe there's some way I can do both shows at the same time, like Mike Procise when he was 24 and he would just
right. There are certainly
he'd go to rehearsal and then perform a different show.
Parker does that now and I'm like, amazed, but not many people can do that.
No,
we're done with those days. That doesn't happen anymore.
Right, especially you have a kid now and everything.
I just don't have the desire to do it anymore.
Sure.
I just can't.
Medema and Josie, enjoy the time when you can be free to be in shows without having to think of spouses and kids and jobs and all this other stuff. You have a mom that's letting you do, you know, helping and facilitating you to be all in this wonderful, amazing world of theater.
It can be very time consuming and it can be tough on families, I'm sure. Like Katie was saying that, because Katie and Mike are both actors in town that people have probably heard a lot about and seen them in a lot of things, that you guys have to kind of take turns.
I got the fall.
Right.
I said I want to audition for It's a Wonderful Life, and he said I want the spring because they're doing Chicago at Parkland, and it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year, I think we kind of had to do a rock, paper, scissors, but, you know, I've directed three shows at the station, and two of those were since we've had our daughter, and she's turning 4 in December. The first show I directed at the station, we didn't have her yet. Mm-hmm. And just the difference is incredible. The second show I directed, I was nursing her between scenes. I'd be like, actors, hold. We had rehearsals in my dining room. My husband would bring her down for bedtime. I'd nurse her. They'd be working. And then he'd whisk her away upstairs and put her to bed. And we made it work because it was a one-person show. So,
and it's amazing and what it's everybody's just willing to do for community theater around
yeah.
here.
Yeah. To make it work.
The dedication is amazing. Like, yeah. There's...
I miss her. I miss countless bedtimes. Mm-hmm. It's the bedtime, really. I don't know why, but that really affects me more than any, you know, if we have rehearsals during the daytime for some reason, that doesn't bother me as much. It's saying goodbye at 6 p.m. and saying, I'll see you tomorrow morning when you wake up. I don't know what that is. It's, I feel for all the theater parents out there and the kids. I mean, it's hard to miss your family. Mm-hmm. But this is also a big part of what makes us our family. So
Right.
You know, wouldn't trade it, wouldn't change it.
Yeah, just wait till Penny starts getting involved in theater, then you have a whole other element to deal with.
She's a natural entertainer, let me tell you. Yeah.
So Katie, you open on December 5th at the station and have a 3-week run all the way till December 21st.
Till the 21st, yes.
And what a great cast.
Yeah, we don't have shows on Monday or Tuesday. I'm working with a lot of new people that I mean, new to me.
I'm looking at the cast list and Dave Krostal is a new name to me. Is he new to the area?
I'm not sure. We haven't had the same kind of like acting bonding that I have in other shows because there's not that intense scene work. Mm-hmm. And then going out after and discussing scenes and things. I mean, it's a lot more clinical, I guess. I mean, we have laughs while we're rehearsing, but there's not a lot of like, we're playing husband and wife and we really need to like create this bond as much as we can. It's a lot more within ourselves to create the voices and the characters. So yeah, I like everyone I've been working with, and I hope to get to know the new people in my life even more. But so far it's just like, yeah, I like you because we got to crack a joke real quick.
Right.
And then let's keep moving. So yeah, there's not a lot of individual scene work. It's we do one act straight through, we do the second act straight through. So it's a very different rehearsal process.
Well, the relationships that form in theater are one of the greatest things about it. It also makes it hard when things end. And so I know that there's a lot of grieving going on right now as shows come to a close. There are so many right now. And I think that that's something that that my son Wade, when a show gets done, it really is like a mourning process. And it's true with me too, especially when I haven't gotten to do that many roles. And so I know that when a show ends, it's going to be X years until I do another one. But also just putting away a character, and you just know maybe
you
you'll
miss
get
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
no context in which you can bust that stuff out again. Mm-hmm. You can't just
and
do
it's
that
never
scene again.
That exact same group of people ever again.
That's it,
I think
you
were the one
again.
Who said that this precise combination of people doing this precise script.
Right. At this time. Yeah.
In this time of their lives, in this time of the year. Yeah. It doesn't happen ever again.
Right.
And there's a quote that I'll mangle, but paraphrased, it's, you know, live theater disappears as it's being created.
Right.
And that is what I love about it. I mean, it's very bittersweet to overuse a word, but it is. It's bitter. It hurts. Mm-hmm. But it's so great because you can't photograph it. You can't videotape it. You have to be there breathing in that room to experience it. And I love it.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. And even if you go one night, it might be different than a different night. And it's that unique experience that particular time. And there's nothing like it. As an audience member or as somebody involved, it's really magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you all for coming on. See you at the show.
Thank you.
It was really fun. I mean, just getting together and talking theater is kind of what the show is all about. So check out our website, seeyouattheshow.com, and our Facebook page for all the information on these auditions and the shows coming up. And we will see you next week.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the Weft Courier for Thursday. Join